Most of us know very little about the ascension of Jesus, and what we do know is largely influenced by paintings or poems or pretty stained glass windows that shine in a sanctuary or a cathedral, which are usually named quite appropriately the Ascension Window. No, we do not have any here. By the way, Ascension Day this year fell on just this past Thursday, June 2nd, and usually one Sunday on either side of the actual day in most liturgical calendars is designated as Ascension Sunday. We are choosing today to remember the Ascension. Well, based on what you know or have seen depicted in various ways, shapes, and forms, let's have a very quick karaoke moment, if you will, and share as you are led what you know about these images of the Ascension. Maybe you've seen an Ascension window somewhere. What types of images come to mind when you hear about the Ascension? Thoughts. Shout them out loud.
Clouds.
What else?
Light.
Light.
White robes.
Angels. Good, okay. And Jesus just sort of, you know, doing a kung fu move or something. All kinds of different images come to mind. Jesus drifting upward, white flowing robes. What about the disciples, right? Awe-inspired disciples looking up somehow. Some of them maybe even crying or sad. Some in amazement, some in confusion. Well, even though we don't know much about the Ascension, or maybe really don't care to know that much, the Ascension of Jesus was so important to the early brothers and sisters of the faith that it became part of their earliest creeds. And we know that the Apostles' Creed puts it this way. On the third day, he rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven, and what? Sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Within our Christian tradition, the Ascension, of course, marked the end of Jesus' earthly experience and the beginning of the role of Jesus as advocate and intercessor at God's side. With Jesus ascending and all, often his earthly ministry, well, it has set us up for what sometimes feels like in-between times. And what becomes clear with Jesus' ascension, and indeed what the two men dressed in white robes who suddenly appear among the disciples as Jesus disappears in the clouds say, is this, in essence. Not to worry, folks. Yes, this Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven, and he is gone, but he will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. A day that actually was supposed to happen on May 22nd, right? At least according to radio preacher Harold Camping, who, of course, has since done some recalculating, and now assures us that the new day is October 21st, 2011. Go pack your bags. Or not. This type of stuff blows me away because Jesus is very clear about this. No one knows the day or time, which doesn't deal very well with the fact that we still are living in between times. There is an experience of betweenness that is framed in this passage that the lectionary assigns to today. It is not, if you think about it, though, just an experience that is connected to the ascension of Jesus and his promise to come again. The experience of betweenness is a constant state for many of us, in so many ways, shapes, and forms. And for most of us, living in between times, events, or experiences is not a lot of fun. I mean, think about it. What is the time like between December 1st and December 25th? Well, okay, I know that probably depends on how old you are and what kind of responsibilities you have. But what about the time between the work week and the weekend, especially in the summer? What about the time between the work week and the next vacation? What about the time between the diagnosis and the first real experience of what chemo looks like and feels like? What about the time between the torn Achilles and the strength to actually stand with no pain? I can't tell you, I'm still waiting for that time, George. What about the time between the first pangs of labor and the final push? Again, I can't speak to that, but ask any mother about that between time. In between times are more often than not tough stuff and very little fun. Everything seems so up for grabs, so uncertain in this day and time when we are living between so many different things so very often. John S. McClure put sort of a global scope on this when he says of this uncertainty, everything seems so vague in this postmodern, post-everything generation. I mean, after the gas-powered automobile, then what? After the polar ice caps are gone, then what? After global terrorism, then what? After churches and denominations, then what? And we carry that mantra into our day-to-day living, don't we? After retirement, then what? After school, then what? After the wedding, then what? And for how long, and what will it be like? Many of us today have wondered, like these disciples coming together here in Acts 1 have, and maybe even asked the same question they did. Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? And if so, then what? And if not, then when? I think every single one of us knows in the very depths of our souls what it is like to live in between times. Waiting is tough work, and especially when you think about it on a global scale or a deeply personal scale. When our lives feel like they are undergoing some kind of passage from one world to the next, from one state of being to another, from one place to someplace else, and the transition can't happen fast enough. You know what I mean? And sometimes, and more often than not, it seems we are somewhere between shadow and light, between joy and sorrow, between breakthrough and breakdown, between freedom and prison, life and death. But Jesus has a quick comeback to the then what of the disciples and their questioning and ours, doesn't he? And what does he say? He says, certainly not to the satisfaction of Harold Camping, or the disciples, or us. He says, it is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority. Man, oh man, as if it were not frustrating enough with the in-between times, as if we're not already fully aware that time is short, that money is short, and things are going to hell in a handbasket, and sometimes in containers much bigger than that. We pray every single Sunday, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, and that kingdom can't come fast enough. In between times, hard times. And Jesus says, suck it up. It's not for you to know the days or the times that the Father has set. Boy, it's a good thing Jesus doesn't ascend with those words on his lips, right? Hopefully we know him a little bit better than that. Or at least know his next sentence. If you kept your pew Bibles open, look at verse 8 with me. And let's read it together. Acts 1, verse 8. Let's read. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will receive what? One more time, with feeling. You will receive what? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. So guess what, good people of God? We do not face our in-between times without spiritual power or specific purpose. There are very important things to do in these in-between times. Help me name some. I'll get you started. Care for the sick. Pray. Feed the hungry. Preach. Pray. Are you stuck on the pray theme today or what? I'll address that in 1 second. What else? In between times, what is our mission? You will be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. How do we witness?
Be a friend to sinners.
Be a friend to sinners. What else?
Teach our children.
Teach our children.
Serve each other.
Stop war. Stop wars. Live peacefully. Excellent. You get the idea. Care for the sick. Be advocates of justice. Renew the church. Worship. Clothe the homeless. Buy shaving cream and razors for the rescue mission. Support Bud and Bonnie Morton and Peter Knapp and their families and their mission work. Study Scripture and live good and godly lives, right? This is our mission. And folks, I want to tell you this morning, if I've got too much time to be woe is me-ing myself in between times, I've got too much time on my hands with nothing in them to do. See, the in-between time is a time to turn from ourselves and turn towards others. Jesus gives us our mission here. We will be given power to be witnesses in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We will be given power to do, as John said a few weeks ago, greater works than Jesus did. Greater works. Now, before you think that it's all about mission, and it is all about working ourselves to death and staying busy all the time, or at least working ourselves out of our in-between times and other various funks that we get ourselves into, I want to take a look at what happens next in Luke's story. According to Luke's version, which is one of the very few depictions of the ascension in Scripture, Jesus was lifted up and a cloud took him out of sight, leaving the disciples, the Scriptures say, gazing up toward heaven, no doubt with mouth wide open in disbelief. Now, at first glance, this carries with it some, I think, at least for me, connotations of heaviness or sadness. We have this sense that this is such a sad thing that the disciples must be feeling in that moment, even though he talked to them about the Holy Spirit coming and giving them power. They must be feeling abandoned in some way. But is it possible that we feel this way because to us we tend to focus on the divinity of Jesus, to see Jesus as God sort of loaned to us for a while, coming down from on high and then leaving us to go back to God in glory? We see the ascension as Jesus going home finally to be at peace with God after a long, tough slog here on earth. And it's a sad thing to think about that. But I'd like to suggest that the disciples, gazing up toward heaven, could be a metaphor for our posture in between times. And that as our hands and our feet and our minds and our muscle and our money are engaged in our mission, isn't that a great alliteration? As our hands and our feet, our minds and our muscle and our money are engaged in our mission, our witnessing, our eyes, or better, our hearts, are focused heavenward. In committed, confident worship of and prayer to the one who promised never to leave us or forsake us. See, Jesus ascended to heaven, but at Pentecost, which we will celebrate very appropriately next Sunday by putting our faith into action, empowered by the Spirit to go into the community with our mission. At Pentecost, we remember He sent His Spirit, and it empowers His disciples everywhere to be focused as they need to be on their mission. So, good people of God, may we, as we live in between times, all kinds of in between times, may we be about the work that we have been called and empowered to do. And may we do it with a gaze of gratitude to the heavens and to the one who will come again in His own time, but in the same way that He ascended. Let us pray. Lord, bless this simple witness given in Your name. And thank You for the power that You have given us to live in between times, faithfully serving You and faithfully gazing toward heaven with gratitude and joy for that power. And we ask this in Your name. Amen.